I would like to use this opportunity today to discuss a little bit on one side, the current state of Bondora, as well as what has been happening in 2020. Obviously, it has been a year a bit out of the ordinary, a very tough year, a very challenging one in many regards, and also for many platforms. Both, I think, in terms of handling investors' expectations throughout the process, as well as also keeping a very close eye on managing that loan portfolio. So maybe from your personal, what was your personal recap on 2020 from a Bondora perspective?
Yeah, I mean, of course, a surprising year for all, to say the least. To kind of rewind back to January, we were focusing on growth at the time. We were originating over, what, 20 million per month. And what we saw was, you know, when the global pandemic hit, we made the decision to draw back originations, to reduce them to early 2018, 2017 levels, you know, 1-2 million per month. And so this year, the focus has really changed for us to be on sustainability instead of for the rocket ship growth. But with everything, I think it's been a great year for Bondora as well, because in these interviews or questions from customers in the past, one thing that you were always asked is, okay, what happens in a financial crisis? What happens in when there's some kind of macroeconomic event, which, you know, we haven't experienced before? Well, now we can kind of point back to it and say, well, this is what happened in that time period. You know, some things have changed. We've had partial payouts. We've had the 1,000 euro net limit, which I think you'll ask me about a bit later. But sustainability has been the main goal this year. And now we can point back to that. So a good year overall.
Okay. Let's dig a bit deeper into this topic. Now, you said, obviously, you made a very conscious decision to cut back originations, even then to the point where you say stopping entirely in Finland and also in Spain for the time being. Now, for me, I had a recent interview with Twino CEO Anastasia, and she also revealed some very interesting numbers. I'm curious if you have any for us. She said that in the time of, it was in March and in April, about 30% of the loans that got paid back to the investors on the platform have been withdrawn from the platform. And also very interesting from the annual report of Twino that they released, you saw that the net deposit withdrawal ratio during those 2 months was minus 4.2 million euro. Now, I'm sure on one side, you have this conscious decision on cutting back originations. On the other side, I think we also saw, or for sure, there was also massive withdrawal from Bondora, especially considering Bondora Grow and Grow, who, you know, offers obviously a bit more liquidity, which I think then also as a consequence led to this partial payments that we saw in spring this year. Can you maybe talk about some figures, if that's possible, how much funds have been withdrawn from Bondora during that crucial time of the year, in the first half of the year, and how did the situation evolve then up until the end of this year?
Sure. So from, what was it, mid-March and the month following, we kind of saw that withdrawals tripled around that time compared to the normal volume that we see. Which is why the partial payouts were activated. Interestingly, though, I think partial payouts were active for around 8 to 10 weeks. And interestingly, after that, it seemed that all of that money and more flowed back, which has kind of led us to where we are today. So I think that was a prudent move for us to have the partial payouts implemented within the product from day one. No one foresaw the circumstances that happened this year, of course, but we implemented it from when we released Go and Grow for that exact scenario, to protect the underlying portfolio. And I think at the time, a feedback point for us is that we could have communicated that quicker and clearer in the beginning, which is a learning point for next time, of course. But we did see all of that money and more come back, which has led to the 1,000 euro net limit now. Because as you can imagine, you know, the amount that we chose to originate is affected by that, by the amount of investments that were coming in as well. So it was our choice to kind of cut that expansion at that point, just as a precautionary move.
Hmm. Can you be a bit more specific in terms of, you know, you said like withdrawals tripled, but can you give some more tangible figures to that?
I can't, no.
Can't. Okay, then let's switch to Bondora Go and Grow. You mentioned already the current 1,000 euro restriction per month with Go and Grow. When I asked when I asked the community prior to this interview, you know, what is it that you would like to know? I think by far the most frequently asked question was about, you know, how is the situation continue with Go and Grow? Is it planned to remove this limitation for Go and Grow in the future? If so, what will be the circumstances to do so? What can you answer?
To give a bit of context and perspective on this, we are practically doing zero paid marketing at the moment, or very low paid marketing, to acquire new customers. So people who are joining the platform is organic growth. And we're seeing still in the thousands every month, people joining the platform and investing. And we will remain cautious on our originations, most likely until mid-2021. So we have last month, we scaled up a bit higher, so to 6.5 million in November. Likely this month will be the same. But highly likely you won't see significant growth begin until after mid-2021. So with that in mind, we have no immediate plans to remove that 1,000 euro net limit. The reason why it was implemented with that figure as well, we checked the data before we did it, and the majority of investors do not invest more than 1,000 euro net per month anyway. So it doesn't impact the majority of investors. For those who it does impact, of course, it's disappointing. But that's why the decision was made. It could be that we change that even to a different level in the future, which, you know, may not be ideal for some segments of investors, but it is 100% the best course of action for the sustainability of the portfolio, which is our primary goal. So in summary, no plans to remove it just yet, and it may change again in the future.
Mm. Okay, so what we can take out from this is, at least till mid-2021, there will be most likely no change with regards to the 1,000 euro net limit. Afterwards, needs to be seen. That's what I can take out from here.
Change it before that, but I mean that we won't have significant growth in our originations before that time. So, yeah. Which means we're controlling the level of investment before that.
Yeah. Okay. Can you explain what, maybe it sounds a bit bold, but what have been the reasons behind making that decision in the first place?
Well, simply looking at both sides of the business. If you are lending X amount, then you are funding that with another X amount. So if you're in a growth environment, it's not so much of an issue, because you're always kind of leveling up each time. Originations are becoming higher. Investments are becoming higher. But when we made the decision to contract the amount which we are lending, that's why we also have to contract the amount which we are allowing into the portfolio as well, because you don't want to get to a situation where you would have, say, too much cash, which you're not lending, essentially, no. Right? Because you need to generate the returns in the portfolio for investors. So that's why I think there was a situation similar with Zopa. I don't know, was it 5 years ago or something, when they actually had a waiting list on their platform for some time. So we're not at that point yet, but yeah, that's the reason why.
Hmm. Is it maybe at this point also a question of, you know, increasing the origination as you have done in November for the first time, and which was largely also attributed to Go and Grow, that this is a bit of a signal? It's, or to which extent is it also necessary now? Because you see, you know, you have a lot of funds in there. You promise a guaranteed daily return, basically, you know, adding up to a 6.75 annual percentage rate then over the course of the year. To which extent are you also forced now to increase the origination level at this point?
Actually, no. This is one real benefit of Bundora, and throughout this year especially, we have full control over both sides of the business, whether it's from investments or lending. It is really as simple as pressing a couple of buttons to change that, to make it less originations or more investments. Okay, there's more to it than that, but you understand what I mean. So we have full control over both sides, which means that we're never in a position where we're forced to take an action. It may be that we just add a restriction on the lending or a restriction on the investments in the portfolio. And we don't need to generate huge amount of originations to remain profitable. It's not like we're chasing something. For example, this year, despite the reduction in originations, we're still looking to end the year profitably, as Patel said earlier in this year when he did the live Q&A.
Yeah, but at the same time, if I continue on that path, obviously the 6.75% are guaranteed. It's like a promised a return that Bundora tries to deliver, you know, obviously, you know, with the disclaimer that anything can happen, you know, and maybe performance needs to be adjusted. But at least from my standpoint, I'm wondering if you keep up that promise and maybe you need to reach a certain origination level also to, you know, have like an underlying asset portfolio and loan portfolio to make this work in the long run. But obviously you don't see any force at this time to see this as a use. Okay, we need to improve or we need to increase now the origination level also to have that loan portfolio that guarantees this performance in the long term.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the first thing is that we've always done our best to make investors aware that it isn't a guaranteed rate. We've always said that, and it's actually on every single page in our product, just so no one can miss that as well. This is the target return, which we've achieved for nearly 2 years now. The second thing is that it doesn't require a new origination to generate that profitability, because there's a huge underlying portfolio. I think of 115,000 loans, maybe a little bit less. So there's a huge engine generating that cash flow anyway. So whether we originate another 10,000 loans doesn't impact that underlying portfolio that already exists there.
Yeah, understood. So regardless of the new origination that is adding up then?
Yes.
One of the questions that has also been asked was about the liquidity reserve with Go and Grow. Obviously, we saw with partial payments beginning of the year that at times it was a bit harder, you know, to offer or provide that cash flow to investors because the underlying loan portfolio didn't generate that return, the real return, to guarantee this cash flow to investors. How are you standing now with that liquidity reserve? Can you offer some data and some statistics on that as well?
Well, I mean, it's always been there to generate the return for investors. We haven't had a problem with generating that return to date. The restrictions were made for future precautions, so we didn't get to that state where all the loans or all the assets were removed from the underlying portfolio, which would make it more difficult to generate that return. So the liquidity reserve at the moment, almost 12 months worth of returns to cover. That's what it could cover. Again, I can't give you an exact figure on that, but that's assuming no cash flow generated from the underlying portfolio. So excluding that altogether, which is obviously unrealistic, but looking at the liquidity reserve alone, enough to generate almost 12 months of returns.
Okay, I see. I probably need to do, okay. Okay, but if you can't provide any further or detailed numbers, okay, we need to live with that obviously, but then we take this answer first now into account. Can you talk about the underlying performance of the portfolio at the moment?
Yeah, it's good. It's actually, along with the performance and the default rates, improved since the end of 2019, despite the pandemic this year as well. So if we're looking at default rates, they are lower than in 2019. We made some changes at the end of last year, which has directly impacted that.
Okay. Can you make this more specific first? And secondly, to which extent does this maybe also have something to do with the moratoriums being in place? So is that within the calculation?
No, this is simply due to our credit model. So I've talked before about how we have a proprietary credit model, which we use to assess the trustworthiness of borrowers, for example. And at the end of 2019, we released the latest generation of that credit model, which we've seen the results almost immediately from it as well. So there's not really much more that I can say about that because it's proprietary tech. And it's something that we've never actually shared, but that's had a direct impact on the performance of the portfolio and also the default rates as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you adjusted the scoring model at the end of 2019, which led obviously to better results this year in terms of default rates, for instance. Regardless of moratoriums that are being in place and that kind of, you know, vanish a little bit, that statistic. So you say even, you know, taking this factor out, you know, default rates have improved compared to last year.
Exactly, because with the flexibility that moratoriums may have offered, the B-Secure product, I think you know what it is. Mm. Yeah, but I can explain just in case anyone watching doesn't. So B-Secure is a product that is offered to our loan customers, which allows them to change their schedules. It allows them to take a principal repayment holiday, and some more things as well. So we've kind of always offered that flexibility in terms of payments, and it's always been taken into account with the model. But the latest generation of the credit scoring, something that we can see already is, you know, the first payment default. Has that changed? Yes. Okay. Then we can see that it's improved.
Yeah. Sorry, you were stuck for a moment now. I don't know if...
Yeah, you were as well, but I think it's fine. I don't know. Yeah.
I think we're good now. Okay, let me talk about just quickly again on the managing the loan supply, because I think that was also a big topic for Bondora this year. What data can you share as of this very moment? How's the supply and demand situation on the platform?
It's interesting because, like I said, it's controlled. There's definitely demand there for, just to check, by demand, you mean loans?
Supply, I mean loans. Demand, I mean from investors.
There's always a philosophical debate about which one is which, but yeah.
Yeah.
So for the loans, again, there's obviously demand there, but it's controlled. It's contracted, simply because if you logically think about the events that have happened this year, the credit profile of someone can change. So it may be that people who may have been able to pay before, we've seen that, you know, something's happened, major has happened in the world, and we want to see if our assessment of that person on that profile is still the same based on the global events that have happened. So this is simply the reason why, for our credit model, that we have retracted our lending to ensure that we're not just keeping the same volume of lending that we have been pre-COVID, just to look after the portfolio. So I think, does that make sense?
I don't know. To me, I'm wondering, since you have that restriction with Go and Grow, for instance, which seems to be the most popular product, to which extent you see, like, okay, we can definitely serve a higher demand from investors, but at the time being, as you said, we're being more cautious with the supply. We, you know, want to keep a very controlled look at our origination level. So I'm assuming from the outset that the demand is way higher at the moment for Bondora. But I don't know if you can say, like, we wouldn't have any issues funding now also 20 million again next month if we wanted to, because we have the demand from investor side.
I could say that, you know, based on how things are at the moment, it would be that the demand from investors exceeds what we can service right now, which is why, of course, we have the limit in place. So yeah, in that scenario, in that example, yes, it does exceed. But I think that if we were originating 20, 30 million a month, I don't think that we would have an issue matching that if we decided to, because it's influenced by other activities as well. Like I said, at the moment, we've just been focusing on organic growth this year. There hasn't really been anything paid activities really like after March. So yeah. I personally think that we would have no problem to match that. And that will be the target for mid-2021 next year, once we kind of start to focus on growth again.
Okay. Another question that came up in the process was, how do you actually manage between balancing the loan portfolio throughout your different investment products? We saw a lot of loans in the past month in November have been attributed to Go and Grow. I think it was 92-93% or something like this. And at the same time, then obviously, if a couple investors, preferably using Portfolio Pro, Portfolio Manager, were complaining that there is a lack of loans. How in general do you balance the loan attribution throughout or with the different products that you have?
Actually, we hadn't reviewed this for some time until around 6 weeks ago. And when we looked at it, we saw that relative to the number of active investors per product, there was a much higher share of loans in the portfolio going to customers using Portfolio Pro and Portfolio Manager relative to the active users when you compare it to Go and Grow, of course. So we made some changes to reflect the distribution of loans to the active segments of users. So within Go and Grow and Portfolio Manager and Portfolio Pro. And that's why that around a month ago, some users would have noticed, if they're using Portfolio Manager and Portfolio Pro, that the amount of loans available for their portfolio or new investments that they could acquire suddenly decreased or changed, which again may be frustrating, but we have to be fair to all investors.
All right. I would like to ask you something about the live interview that you did with CEO Pertel Tomberg earlier this year. He sounded very confident to finish also 2020 with a profitable year for Bondora. And mainly his argument was that, as you also said already in this interview, that you are able to control the variable costs and that they can be adjusted to the origination level. I also made some analysis myself on this, and I think, yes, to a certain extent, this is definitely a solid and a justified argumentation. However, I think there's a minimum threshold of origination level to make this work. Can you talk about where that minimum level is and where that threshold is to make Bondora become or remain profitable, considering that you decrease or reduce the origination level then on the other side?
Actually, there is no minimum threshold. It's profitability is much more heavily weighted toward operating costs than the minimum amount of loans that we are getting in because of the size of the portfolio right now. If this conversation was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, yes, it would be much more different. But the underlying portfolio itself is so huge at the moment that it's almost infinite in some ways. So the financial results for this year will highly likely be quite similar to last year. We are still looking to end the year profitably, and revenue will be approximately around the same. So there won't be any growth, which we may have stated at the beginning of this year, but it will remain around the same. So I don't see any minimum threshold needed for loans. As you saw, we changed dramatically from, I think it was, 24 million at the beginning of the year originated in 1 month, to changing that to 1 to 2 million and still ending the year profitable. So, yeah.
I will probably hold against and say, okay, there can't be an infinite timeline to this, because Obviously, I don't know the numbers by heart now, but I also looked at the monetization model of Bondora. And obviously, you do a lot or a lot of revenue is coming through or to Bondora by basically your commission fee. Once you originate new loans, you have like a management fee, which is like annual, I think 4% of the loan amount on an annual rate or something like this. But basically mm-hmm. that you get a lot of commission or a lot of revenue is generated basically throughout or servicing new loans compared to really managing or having additional services, like you said, with Be Secure, or then on the other side, you know, like where you could maybe, you know, like that the monetization model basically drives how you create your revenue. And this is basically largely depending on new originations rather than a performance-based model.
This is true. Yeah, that's correct. But at the same time, those loans, those customers who take the loans do not just appear out of nowhere. There's a customer acquisition cost associated with every loan that is issued. And if you're issuing less loans, then your customer acquisition cost as an absolute figure is much less in that time as well. So yes, we do gain revenue from, you know, things like the Be Secure fee and the management fee, which you said, but also the costs related to that, not just the operating costs of you know, staff of marketing, but actually acquiring that customer and all the things that we have to do to issue that loan. The absolute numbers of that drop significantly as well.
Sure, absolutely. I also don't argue that, you know, you can cut like variable costs or servicing new loans related costs, like when you say customer acquisition costs. To me, it's only about the income basically. And at the same time, you know, when you maintain your staff, when you have office costs, when you have high IT costs, okay, you have no marketing costs maybe, but you know, if you maintain your staff level, if you keep the office, everything surrounding it, IT, everything that drives the system behind Bondora, there needs to be, I think, also some revenue stream that is constant on the other side. And that's why I think it's something that I think should be looked at. Yeah. Okay. No more comment from Matt. Then let's look at 2021. Many people now, you announced a comeback in Finland in November. That leaves the question open, you know, what happens with the Spanish loans? Will they eventually come back to the platform? What do you say?
Yeah, so we started originations again, albeit a very small amount, in November in Finland. And same again this month. We review the decision every single month to whether we're going to expand to somewhere else again. So for example, we did it with Finland before we chose to reopen there. And we're doing the same with Spain. But for now, you know, our volumes in Spain were much lower compared to Finland and Estonia anyway. So that's why we've taken the measure to just reopen in Finland just for now. But based on the data, we'll decide whether we're going to open in Spain again in the future. But also, we were planning expansion into a new European market this year, and for obvious reasons, that's been paused. But just recently, we picked up our activities again to restart our activities for the expansion, and highly likely from mid-2021, we will launch in at least one new loan market next year.
Okay, interesting. That was my next question, basically, how you're standing with that expansion, because I think about a year ago you announced you're about to launch in a new borrower country. So mm-hmm. at least one more country you think you're certain will be added by mid-2021?
At least one, yeah.
At least one. How many are you targeting in general right now? Like, what is in the pipeline? How many countries?
We have a few. In mind is the wrong word, that we've assessed and analyzed as a shortlist. But there's one which we are planning as the number one priority to launch in. And yeah, as soon as we have, we progress through the process of that, we can share who that exactly is. But for now, we won't.
Okay. And you, but you see it more likely to set up in this new country rather than reopening in Spain, if I understand correctly?
No, no, it's not an exclusive event. It can be that we still launch in Spain, but it will just be dependent on the data that we receive. So it's not one or the other by any means.
Okay, understand. Okay, yeah, well, ultimately now we touch base now on next year already a couple of times. Just let us know, final question, you know, what is it that you think investors can expect from Bondora in 2021?
I'll keep it short. I would say that next year you can expect significant growth compared to this year. I would say also totally new products, which we have our mind on at the moment, which may not be related to specifically Grow and Grow or the products related to investments that we have so far, which is very exciting. And yeah, we're focusing continually on simplicity as well. I know it sounds cliche, but simplicity is what makes it work. So,
Matt, thank you very much for taking some time. Any last comment from your side before we finish off this interview?
Well, I hope that we can host yourself and other investors back in the office sometime next year once things are returned to normal. We used to do it every single month and haven't had that this year. So perhaps next year we'll get to see some customers again. So that would be nice.
I would definitely be happy to have a look around. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Then thanks again for your time, Matt. Wish you a pleasant end of the year and hope you get well into next year. And then we will catch up hopefully then anytime soon next year.
Thanks a lot for your time, Denny.